Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And she didn't win the gubernatorial election in Georgia, but Democrat Stacey Abrams isn't done fighting. What's she fighting for? Well, a fair fight. Her opponent, Georgia Secretary of State Brian Kemp, was also in charge of overseeing the gubernatorial election itself, which led to accusations from Abrams that he used the powers of his office over the years leading up to his run for governor to engage in voter suppression. Here's a clip from Abrams' non-concession speech on November 19th.
More than 200 years into Georgia's democratic experiment, the state failed its voters. You see, despite a record high population in Georgia, more than a million citizens found their names stripped from the rolls by the Secretary of State, including a 92-year-old civil rights activist who had cast her ballot in the same neighborhood since 1968. Tens of thousands hung in limbo, rejected due to human error and a system of suppression that had already proven its bias. The remedy, they were told, was simply to show up. Only they, like thousands of others, found polling places shut down, understaffed, ill-equipped, or simply unable to serve its basic function for lack of a power cord.
Later in that speech on November 19th, Stacey Abrams announced the formation of Fair Fight Georgia, a nonprofit aimed at fixing those problems. And on November 27th, Fair Fight filed a federal lawsuit against the state's Board of Elections and Robin Crittenden, who took over as Kemp as interim Secretary of State. Here to discuss the lawsuit and the questions it raises, not just for Georgia, but for the nation, and also to debrief the Abrams campaign a little bit, is Lauren Groh-Wargo, CEO of Fair Fight Georgia. She was Stacey Abrams' campaign manager. Ms. Groh-Wargo, welcome to WNYC. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Brian. Happy to be here.
First, congratulations on making history by Stacey Abrams getting that close in the state of Georgia, even though she lost. Do you feel like you and she accomplished something important, even in defeat?
Our team, our staff, our volunteers, our supporters, the tens of thousands of $5 donors, the 15,000 volunteers who knocked on doors and called their friends and neighbors, the thousands of canvassers who knocked in their neighborhoods. It was an extraordinary team, an extraordinary effort. And, like, frankly, I'm just in awe of them and what we all put together. And we're gonna fight to make sure people's voices are heard as we proceed. We changed the electorate in Georgia. Just knew, you know, we had more African Americans vote in Georgia in 2018 than the total number of Democrats who voted in 2014. We really changed the electorate because of this incredible team. And so we're gonna keep fighting to make sure people's voices are actually heard as we move forward.
How much do you think, as a Southern political operative, and for the most part our listeners are Northeasterners, so they're not familiar at a granular level, but how much do you think we're seeing a new purple region in the Deep South? Close races in Georgia, in Texas with Beto O'Rourke, Doug Jones actually won in Alabama. Are we seeing a new purple region in a place that used to be solidly red?
Georgia is a changing state. The entire Sun Belt is a changing region. And the Republicans are stealing power at this point. Democrats had huge victories in election night in Georgia and across the region. Lucy McBath, the mother of the movement, is going to Congress from suburban Atlanta. We elected 11 new Democrats to state House seats, 3 new Democrats to state Senate. The state is changing. The state has changed, will continue to change. And that's why what the Republican Party, under now the leadership of Governor-elect Brian Kemp, is trying so desperately to suppress the voices of the people they represent, because they know the future is dim. Brian Kemp had the lowest support level from voters of color in contemporary politics in Georgia. They've got a real struggle on their hands with the demography changes that are happening, the growth in the state, the diverse economy that Georgia enjoys. And they are, you know, they're trying to change the game. And I think for those of you in New York City and the region who are listening, why this matters is voter suppression is not unique to Georgia. The Deep South has always been really, you know, creative about how they have suppressed the voices of voters of color.
Interesting.
But we're seeing this all across the country. And that's why, you know, as we were sort of looking at what happened election night and in the following days, we knew that we were going to need to take really broad legal action to reform the whole system because it's so fundamentally broken in Georgia. But we see voter purges in Ohio and in Florida and Wisconsin. We see, you know, inadequate machines and problematic, you know, too long lines. We've seen this all over the country. And what's unique about our situation is that because we had such a robust campaign effort and we had 40,000 Georgia citizens call us election day and the period post-election, we have ended up with incredible amounts of data and stories about all the different ways people's votes were suppressed. And so we've been able to channel this into a very broad lawsuit where we're able to describe, and then we're going to prove in court, that this is a system of suppression that's literally trampling American citizens' constitutional right to vote. And we believe that running this lawsuit in a very aggressive fashion and leveraging all the assets we built in the campaign in terms of volunteer support, data, you know, digital assets, et cetera, leveraging all of that to really make the case in the court of public opinion simultaneously will not only hopefully fix election administration in Georgia, but will raise that conversation to the highest level as Congress looks at restoring the Voting Rights Act, as Republicans try to steal power in Michigan and Wisconsin. So we're going to take our voice, our the sort of assets and infrastructure we built in the campaign, and all this data and stories we're pouring into this lawsuit to make this case as loud and aggressively as possible, because election administration has got to get fixed in this country.
Listeners, do you have any questions for Lauren Groh-Wargo, who was Stacey Abrams' campaign manager in the Georgia gubernatorial race, and whose group, Fair Fight Georgia, is now suing state officials over alleged voter suppression tactics? Give us a call with your questions for Lauren Groh-Wargo at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So on the lawsuit, what is it that you're alleging very specifically that Brian Kemp and the Board of Elections did?
Yeah, thank you for that question. So there's a whole system that has been set up over the course of Brian Kemp's eight-year tenure, and that really came to a pinnacle on Election Day. He purged 1.6 million voters off the rolls. The timing of those purges lines up with his own elections, and it's a very aggressive utilization of a use-it-or-lose-it law in the state. And many folks have gone after him trying to prove that this was illegal and haven't been able to. We now feel as though we have adequate data to show that these purges were illegal. And we have so many voters who went to vote who are regular voters who found themselves purged. So a system of voter purges, that's one piece. Another large piece is we have 16-year-old voting machines that have no paper trail in Georgia that are literally running Windows 2000. They're vulnerable to hacking, and they're incredibly glitchy, and they were malfunctioning left and right during early vote and on Election Day in all manner of ways, flipping people's votes so they were voting for the Republican instead of the Democrat, crashing, glitchy, et cetera. And both the machines themselves need to be replaced, and we're arguing that in our suit, that this is a violation of the federal Help America Vote Act, that there is not a voter verifiable paper trail, and that these machines are actually illegal and must be replaced, but need to be done in the right way. The other piece is the misallocation of machines. We had very large precincts on Election Day where there were 4 to 5 hour waits because there were only three machines. Either others had broken down or there just weren't enough provided. And that lays really at the feet of Brian Kemp, the Secretary of State, who gave no guidance to the counties on allocation of machines. Everyone knew it was historically high turnout. The Secretary of State and State Elections Board fell down on the job to make sure there were adequate machines, to the point where in Atlanta, there's a warehouse with 600 machines that were wrapped up in saran wrap, and they were sitting unused on Election Day while mothers and children and parents and fathers were waiting in 4-hour lines to vote. The other piece that we talk about in our suit is the inadequate provision and overutilization, sort of simultaneously, of provisional ballots. So what happened is, as these machine breakdowns were occurring in these long lines, a historic number of voters were offered a provisional ballot, which is a really complicated, sets up sort of a whole set of complications. There are nearly 30,000 provisional ballots that we know of that were cast on Election Day. These were handwritten lists of who voted provisionally at the counties and at the precincts we're collecting. Really hard to get your arms around that data. And then we have story after story after story of voters who showed up, told, oh, we only have one provisional ballot. You need to pick between you, your husband, and your wife who gets to vote. And so there was not enough backup provisional and paper ballots provided. And again, the Secretary of State did not give guidance to make sure there were plenty of backup paper ballots. Everyone knew about the issues of machines and that there was going to, that was going to need to happen. Then another bucket is around the voter registration database and lists in Georgia. All kinds of glitchy issues. There's the exact match issue. Some of your listeners are probably familiar with that, reported nationally, that if you have a hyphen in your last name or a typo or an unusual last name, you get set into this pending status when you try to register to vote. It happened to me when I registered to vote in Georgia with my hyphenated last name. I needed lawyers to help me get registered to vote. Absurd. And so, but there's broad problems with the voter registration database. Georgia was the only state in the country when the Obama administration offered help from DHS coming out of 2016 to help secure the election system, or early on that cycle. Brian Kemp denied that help. There was a very vulnerable website that he maintained, all kinds of problems there. So that meant when you showed up on Election Day, you're Brian Lehr, you show up, you vote at your same polling location your entire adult life. We have story after story of folks who showed up and they said, oh, no, you don't vote here. You vote at this other location. And people driving across town being told they were registered and were supposed to vote in different places. Our own nominee, Stacey Abrams, was told when she showed up to vote, they told her that she had requested an absentee ballot, so would not be permitted to vote early. Wow. She had not requested an absentee ballot.
That had never happened.
She's never requested an absentee ballot. Brian Kemp, the Republican nominee, when he showed up to vote, the TV cameras documented that they were there with him. They gave him the card to insert into the machine to cast his ballot. His card, when he inserted it, was inoperable, didn't work. He had to go back and get a new card. In Georgia in 2018, the Democratic and gubernatorial nominees for governor were not able to cast a ballot without issue. So I think that is really emblematic. So it's database issues, it's machine issues, it's line issues, and then there's this whole other issue around precinct consolidation. Again, your listeners may be familiar with what happened in Randolph County, an African-American county in South Georgia, where they tried to shut down polling locations that clearly disproportionately impacted low-income African-Americans. Well, guess what? They shuttered over 200 precincts over the last 2 years. And again, we're going to prove in court that this was discriminatory, that disproportionately impacted low-income and African-American communities in Georgia. And so that's why we took a sort of different approach on this lawsuit. We are arguing that Brian Kemp, the Secretary of State, the State Election Board, and their official roles violated Georgians' constitutional rights under the First, 14th, and 15th Amendment, under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, under HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, which is a federal law, as well as the Georgia Constitution. And we're asking, our remedy that we're asking for is to fix the system. We're not looking for a financial, you know, fix here. We are looking for wholesale reform of the system. And we're, you know, cautiously optimistic. We had four different federal judges who weighed in during the election to force the state to count ballots. We won all of those suits, us, our allies, others who were engaged. Literally, four federal judges got engaged during early vote and in the days after Election Day to force the counting of certain types of provisional, certain types of absentees, you know, mandating that things happen this way or that. And so, you know, if it's going to have to be the federal judiciary is going to have to weigh in to fix elections in this country, because Republican lawmakers seem to have it their core mission to suppress the vote, then we're going to go to the judiciary. Well, but we're also in the court of public opinion to say enough is enough. We've got to do better for our citizens.
Well, that is a lot and a lot of specific claims. in that lawsuit. Thank you for going through them in that detail. And listeners, if you're just joining us, my guest is Lauren Groh-Wargo, who was Stacey Abrams' campaign manager in the Georgia gubernatorial race and now runs a group called Fair Fight Georgia, suing state officials, as you've been hearing, over alleged voter suppression tactics of a whole host of kinds. I want to play a little bit of the response from Brian Kemp to allegations of voter suppression, and then get your response to his response. This is a clip from Fox News Channel on November 5th, that was Election Day Eve, on the idea in general that he was using his position to influence the election.
Well, anybody that knows how the system in Georgia works wouldn't be saying that. That's a ridiculous claim. It's our county elections offices and superintendents that actually hold the election. They're counting the votes. Their local election board certifies the elections. The press and the public can go watch that. All this nonsense of voter suppression is absolutely ridiculous.
Brian Kemp on November 5th. So, Ms. Groh-Wargo, basically he's saying there that at least many, if not all, not all, but many of the problems that you just enumerated would have happened at the county level, where local election boards manage the voter rolls and polling places. And therefore, you can't blame him or hold the State Board of Elections responsible for these county level issues like understaffed polling places or machines don't work or other things that that even Democrats might be in charge of in more Democratic precincts.
This is sheer lunacy. The reason we have a constitution is that if you are an American and you vote in one county in Georgia or one county in North Dakota, you have a basic constitutional right to vote. And Brian Kemp, as the chief elections officer in Georgia, Secretary of State, a publicly funded position, as we all know, his job was to make sure that there was equal application of laws at all levels to administer elections in the state of Georgia. Our lawsuit details both his actions, like purging, and his inactions that have violated our constitutional rights in the state. So let me be clear. It very clearly articulates the state election board and the secretary of state, their jobs in the state of Georgia. And one of the insidious ways that he has stolen power in Georgia is by his inaction, his lack of directives, guidance, and training to local elections officials. And so I have example of example after example where local elections officials did not have basic knowledge of when they were supposed to certify their results, no guidance from the Secretary of State. On the number of backup provisional ballots and paper ballots, no good guidance from the Secretary of State. On making sure they had proper machine allocation after we were seeing historic turnout in early vote. We have 3 weeks of early voting in person in Georgia. Plenty of data we were all looking at every single day, seeing unbelievable turnout. But they were prepared for a low turnout election on Election Day. And oh, whoops, where is that impact? Disproportionately Democratic precincts, African-American precincts. It's also his choice. It was his choice to continue to use these 16-year-old machines. That's at his feet. He did not go to the legislature and say, you know what, you know, we need paper ballots. We need to change the system. These machines are glitchy. It was his choice not to engage federal funding that was available to help secure elections and execute elections.
Let me take those as examples, and because we only have a few minutes left, let me move on, and I think people get the idea from that answer, and get a couple of our many, many callers who want to talk to you. Couple of them in here. Jeff in Philadelphia, you're on WNYC with Lauren Groh-Wargo, Stacey Abrams campaign manager. Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
My question is, what is the likelihood that the vote may be canceled and a new election will need to be taken place?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Our lawsuit, as I said, the remedy we're looking for, the relief we're looking for, is a reform of our election system, not a new election. And any election law lawyers listening know that there is our ways in every state. There's a Georgia statute to contest the actual election results. And we chose to go this route in terms of what we thought was going to be the strongest possible case and taking it to the federal courts rather than the state courts for a whole variety of reasons. So that's not what we are seeking or asking for. There will not be a new election in, for the governor of Georgia. That said, the lieutenant governor in Georgia runs separately, not on the same ticket as the governor. And they saw some incredible issues and have a real problematic undervote situation going on, that they are actually contesting the election results because they have a very clear smoking gun of a problem. So we have, because the issues that we uncovered are so vast and profound, we knew it was going to take a federal judge a year to get through all of this, to get the type of outcome state desperately needs, which is fair and free elections. And so we're taking a big view on this and, you know, going to really advocate here over the longer term rather than continue to dispute the election night results, in particular related to Stacey Abrams.
Margaret in Savannah, you're on WNYC. Hello, Margaret.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling to validate. I told your screener that I purposely signed up to be a poll worker, and I was a poll worker for the first time for this election, and I wanted to validate all the claims that the Stacey Abrams lawsuit is going forward with. We had multiple problems at our precinct, even though our actual Chatham County is actually pretty blue. And we had multiple problems. And I wanted to validate that. And I also wanted to say that we had a runoff election just this week, and the problems continued. We have a system where we do not have a paper trail of that most people think of. It's numerical. And we have to have our two machines have to come out with the right number. Well, in this particular runoff election, they did not come out with the right number, even though it was slow enough that we were able to see that everyone voted. The machines obviously chose not to record some of the votes. So I'm just saying to you that this is all legit. This lawsuit is so legitimate and so needs to happen.
Margaret, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Rose in Flemington, you're on WNYC with Lauren Groh-Wargo, the campaign manager for Stacey Abrams. Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I would like to know if there is any technique that voters all across America can do to force our various districts to attach some sort of printer on our machines. And who do we look out for beyond Keith Kobach for being an architect of this kind of funny business?
Chris Kobach from Kansas, a former Trump appointee for that alleged voter fraud commission, which never really got off the ground. But yeah, to Rose's question, Lauren.
Yeah, it's a great question, and thank you to the caller from Savannah. Savannah sadly had just a slew of issues, and we have examples and witnesses from that part of the state. I would say to answer to the caller's question around how do you get paper receipts, how do you get paper ballots. The way we run elections in this country is very state-specific. Part of the challenge I think we're all dealing with now, that voter suppression has become a plank of the Republican Party nationally. It's meant it's incredibly hard to tackle this challenge. It really entails a state-by-state approach because these are state laws, you know, a lot of county elections officials. But I would just encourage folks to get involved. Nearly every state I can think of has different advocacy groups, some Democratic Party efforts, around getting to what people call voter verifiable elections with either paper ballots or a paper trail. And so I would suggest you search in your state to figure out who's doing that work in the state. I can tell you that our efforts, we work with, there's just a tremendous number of allies who have been slogging this out for years without a lot of recognition. And you can look at some of the litigation filed by the ACLU, Common Cause, Verified Voting. There are a bunch of great organizations active nationally in various states that are involved in litigation and different efforts, the Advancement Project, Lawyers Committee under Civil Rights Under Law. There's a whole slew of them. And so we're really trying to lift up all of that work and make sure that people know, you know, how to get involved And this is going to take, you know, litigation is one just piece of this, frankly. One of the things we saw in Georgia and why this was an opportunity for us in terms of how do we take this crisis and turn it into positive action, during the election, voter suppression became a liability to Brian Kemp. It was a very high self-reported negative when we surveyed voters late in the election. They did not like it. Shameful, disgraceful, abuse of power, breach of the public trust. This is a liability for the Republican Party, not just in the South, but nationally. Americans broadly want free and fair elections. And when they hear these stories, we have Republican witnesses part of this. I mean, this is not a Democratic issue. This is an American issue. That's why our suit is nonpartisan. And any of you who are really tuned in on this, go to barefightgeorgia.com/stories. Just yesterday, we published on our website, barefightgeorgia.com, about 50 stories that are part of the suit. There's many more. We just published some of them that tell these stories.
And we've got
people faced and the absurdities of it all.
And there we leave it with Lauren Groh-Wargo, CEO of Fair Fight Georgia. She was Stacey Abrams' campaign manager in the gubernatorial election. Thank you so much for spending some time with this New York radio station.
Well, I really appreciate your interest in the work. Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come right after this.